All right, here we are, Nate. The event here in Caiaphas just finished about an hour ago. You took the win. Congrats. Second edition.
Thank you.
Give me your first impressions. What was... I know you weren't here last year. There was a conflict with another event. You had a chance to experience it. Tell me your impressions of this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, last year I did ski a different event just because there was a conflict and I had committed earlier. That's all. And there's no real reason other than that. But coming here, experiencing what I did this weekend, I will definitely not be missing this tournament next year. So just having kind of the party vibe feeling out here and, you know, everybody here to support you. It doesn't really matter how you ski. They're all here just to watch you and take it all in and enjoy the environment and the music and the dancing and just having fun. So for me, I thought it was a lot of fun just to be here with everybody. And, you know, whether you skied well or not, everybody had a good time, and that's what I think is important.
Yeah, definitely, like, really good time to be had by skiers and non-skiers, and that's the cool thing that George, the organizer, is able to achieve here, to bring together, obviously, the pro skiers, skiers who, you know, enjoy skiing and obviously watch, you know, the likes of you and I, like, competing, and then also just people who are down for a good weekend of fun. Let's stay with the skiing though. Interesting format here, three qualifying rounds plus final. Obviously you, Franny, and Will went all out in the first one. We won at 9. Give us a description of that first round. There was a bit of wind going on. How did it feel for you?
Yeah, I thought it felt pretty good. I skied two practice rides here, four passes only. I only tried 41-10-2 one time, and I did run it in practice. But during the first round, I saw Will go out there and absolutely just completely smoke it and just run it as good as you could. And then Freddie went out and did the same thing. So I had to do the same. So I went out there with the mentality of, hey, I have to go run this pass. So that was the first time three guys in a Pro Tour event have ever run 41. I think me, Will, and JT did it many years ago in a record tournament. But, you know, it's you're always pushing yourself just what the guy does in front of you, what the top score is. So the toughest competition that I've ever had in a Pro Tour event, sitting as the last guy off the dock, that the lead is two guys at one at 43 or 9.75 meters.
Right. And I'm asking this question, and I would like for you to think about that first round and obviously the final. We all have watched a recent brilliant documentary by the TWBC. And I remember a quote for you in that documentary saying, you know, the competition is getting higher, but I do know that if I go out and do my thing, I'll be just fine. Was that the mentality in the first round and in the final? How did you approach this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, the first round, I would say it was more of a just going out there and feeling things out. If it happens, it happens. If I run it, I run it. Of course, I want to compete and I want to be on the top and be top seed and all that. So that was my mentality a little bit there. I would say in the finals, I kind of put everything out to the side. I knew everybody was kind of stacked up at three ball. But as you said, if I do my thing, more times than not, I come out on top. So for me, my goal was to go out there, run 41, 10-2-5, and see what happens, see how the pieces fall after that. And typically when I'm able to do that, it usually works out.
Yeah, it seems like it does. I would like for you to speak about, you know, you're obviously right foot forward skier. You go out skiing with four guys stacked at three. And what impressed me as I was watching the final was you had a pretty good start, but at three, you committed to that turn early on. Was it because it felt like a good start? Like, what allowed you to have that freedom of saying, oh, I'm going for this?
Yeah, I would say a lot of that is just confidence. You know, I do it in practice every day, and I do it a lot in tournaments as well. But if we back it up to 10.75, if we go back and watch the webcast a little bit, I never turned one ball at 10.7. I did not turn it at all. I stood up, got back in the pass, and just had the confidence to work my way down it. So I kind of made some adjustments at the gate. I knew at 11, coming back in that direction, that I got really, really narrow on the gate. We had a headwind this time from that end, where yesterday it was a really strong tailwind. Yep. So I had to make some adjustments, try to figure it out. And then at the 10-2, the one thing I told myself is, you know, I'm not going to get stuck on the gate. I'm not going to get slow. I'm not going to get stuck. I swung into one, came out of it pretty decent, two ball being an onside turn. And then at three, it was just more of a confidence thing, saying I'm either going to turn this and go and it's going to pay off, or I'm going to turn this and go down trying. So I wasn't going to stack up there at three and tie for the lead at that moment. So
you know what, for me, like what made it really clear, you have this iconic, you know, head turning to your offside. It happened before the buoy even arrived, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, he's going, you know.
Yeah, I had one goal. I mean, there was one guy left on the dock, so you never know what could happen, right? So my goal was run 41 or bust. I knew that three wasn't going to do it. At least when I was getting in the water, I did not think that three would do it. So my mentality was to go run the pass, and I came into three ball approaching it as another one ball, basically saying, hey, I'm turning it, I'm going, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, and it's interesting how, you know, like you skied a few of these European stops now. Three was stuck for the lead when you went down, but three seems to be the cut to make these things now. So can you speak a little bit about like the allegedly increased level of men's slalom skiing this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been happening over the last 10 years, really. I mean, when I started skiing back in 2010, these pro events, you know, mid-39s were getting into the finals. Yeah. And then it was, if you ran 39, you had an opportunity to get in there. Then it was kind of two ball. Now it's three ball. You know, three and four don't make the cut anymore. You know, you got to get deep down there multiple times to make it to the finals. And then, of course, this weekend, it was the same thing. Like, we had everybody stacked up. You know, you needed a piece of three ball or all of it. I think that's what it was to get into the finals this weekend, just to have an opportunity to compete in the finals. So the level of skiing, I think, has consistently come up from everybody. You know, I mean, I see it. Of course, you know, being a little bit selfish, I've been ahead of the pack for the most part for the last 10 years, but everybody is right there chasing me, and I slip up one little bit and you get beat now. So, you know, everybody's kind of right there, you know, on the heels of you and pushing you. And, you know, it also makes you a little bit of a better skier too, because when you have somebody right there not knowing what they're going to do, it makes me have to go out there and push myself a little bit harder as well.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it seems like the top guys pushing you have improved, the rest of the field has improved. Like, it's an exciting moment to follow, you know, slalom water skiing. So I think we kind of gave a bit of a recap of what happened here this weekend in the men's side. Obviously, JT making the cut with 2.5 at 41 here. And then in the final, a lot of guys stuck up at three. You ended up on top with one at 975. And then because of backup scores, Freddie second with 3 at 10.2, and then Will third with 3 at 10.2.
And that's part of skiing. You know, we had three qualifying rounds this weekend. I chose to ski the second one. I really shouldn't have, but I did. I went out in the wind, fell early. But that's part of, you know, some guys skip the second and third round or didn't ski to their best ability. And, you know, when you come to a tie here, that kind of plays a little bit of a factor of how everybody stacked up on the podium as well.
Definitely does. Definitely does. And there was a situation, I would say, at least from my side of things, where it could have been that it would have made the cut also the second and third round. But yeah, I mean, this was the guys. Let's talk for a second about the girls, because we saw some impressive scores, some tough competition. I know you were here on the dock, in the dock area, and I know you enjoy watching the event before you. What stood up to you on this women's event here in Kayapa?
Probably earlier on, maybe the second round, was Allie Nicholson's 39. I mean, I wouldn't say that it surprised me, because I've seen her do it many times, and I knew she was right on the edge of running it.
Yep.
And I kind of talked to her beforehand, and, you know, I kind of said those exact words. I said, you're going to do it this weekend. Like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen right out there. And, you know, she won this, I think it was the Skier of the Day award this weekend as well. So, you know, Jamie kind of leading the pack a little bit this weekend, you know, didn't have an easy task with Allie going out there running 4 at 39 in the finals there. You know, she pushed her to five ball. So, you know, all those girls are kind of consistently working their way up to the top girls like Regina and Whitney and Jamie. And, you know, now Allie kind of right there on the heels of those girls.
And what impressed me about Allie, obviously, was the 1 at 10.2. We were all kind of like speculating, if you were a water ski fan, who's going to be the next woman, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people would have said Allie, right? Like a lot of fours, a couple of 4.5s in the past. And then she did it yesterday. And what impressed me in the final today was not the best start.
Yep.
I don't know if without the 39 yesterday, she would have gotten to four today. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, looking back at her 38, 11.25, she's become confident in that pass.
Yeah.
You know, that was a pass 6 months ago that she didn't have the best start. She'd kind of fight her way down it and hope for the best. that pass is in the back of her head. It's just another pass. It's, you know, it's just working your way up to that 39 pass. So it's in her head that, hey, I can run this no matter what kind of start I get, what happens in the middle of it. I'm going to stay calm, collected, and I'm going to get it done. And once you have that mentality at a pass is when the next pass starts to become, you start getting deeper down it. And that's exactly what happened to her. You look at all these stops. I'm not sure when she missed 38. Yep. It may have, I think she missed it around or something here in Europe, but for the most part, she's run it almost every single time. So that confidence level is very high, which coming into 39, she knew she could do it. She does it in practice. I've seen her do it in practice. And this weekend, she had nothing to lose and went out there and she fought for it. Like she's definitely one of the few girls that go out there and just fight to the end.
Yeah, definitely. Now, here we have Ali, you know, four and a half chasing and finally getting it, right? We also have a nice comeback story with Manon, right? She was out for a couple of months, got a couple of fours here, did a four in Lacano last weekend at the Lacano Slalom Cup. This is someone that has run 39.
Yep.
What did you see in her skiing? What do you think we can expect from Manon in the next few stops?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think she's had a little bit of a back issue or took a step away for a little bit. But like you said, a comeback story. You know, she came back. We saw her last weekend and put up some pretty big scores. She looks really strong out there, seems to be pretty confident. I know in the final she didn't ski quite as well as she wanted to, but she had some really good rounds this weekend and some really good starts at 39 that, you know, we're sitting here looking at fours at 39 or twos thinking like, eh, that's not enough. But those are really, really good scores. Yeah. And that's really good from somebody that took a little bit of a break away from the sport, coming back, building their confidence back up. So, you know, I think up at your place in Italy next weekend at San Gervasio, I'm assuming she's going to be there.
Yep.
You know, I would look for her to kind of be the sleeper a little bit, to come out and, you know, put some pressure on the top girls there.
Yeah, and she has had a lot of success over the years there. So, wishing the best for her. And then we're speaking about, you know, like a couple of girls that have been pushing to the 39, and then we have the defending champion who confirmed their title, Jamie Bull, who for whatever reason seems to have cracked it this year. Like she's running a lot of them.
Yeah, and you know, I think earlier this year we saw her kind of up and down a little bit, but you know, I think she's living back in Canada a little bit, and I know what that's like living up north in the snow. It's really tough to get on the water and be consistent, but you know, she's really put her head down and focused on skiing the last month or two here, and she's been unstoppable. So, you know, you need a piece of two ball to go win a tournament. She goes over and gets a piece of two ball at Lacano last weekend. So, you know, Allie Nicholson put up four here. And, you know, she didn't have the best start, but she was able to stay confident and calm and work her way over. I think she ran five and a half or whatever it was here this weekend. So she's still able to go out there and, you know, even without the best start, fight her way down the pass and get it done. And, you know, we talk about Whitney and Regina kind of being the top the last several years. I see a little bit of you know, change with that, with Jamie kind of moving in, and you know, when either of those girls slip up, Jamie's right there to take it from them.
Definitely. And to me, it was even more indicative of her comfort and confidence exactly that 39 in the final, where she didn't have the best of starts, but she was able to stay calm and carry the pass forward, right? Which is the sign of someone that, as you well know, that someone that has it. Someone that knows that if they stay in it, they can bring the pass down to what the score is.
Yeah, and that's, you know, similar to some of the thoughts that I have with 41. Like, she didn't have the best start, swung early to two, about went inside of it, was able to reach around it and just kind of stay calm, collected, and work her way through it. And that's the confidence level that you're seeing. You go out there, and whatever that score is, knowing I can beat that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what she did. She, you know, she saw Allie's four, and it's a tough score, but you know, you sit at the end of the water, at the end of the lake in the water thinking, well, that's tough, but I do that every day. Right. Why not now?
Right.
And she's just mentally strong.
No, for sure. And interestingly, as you probably noticed, change of ski for her for the first time in a long time seems to be working well, both, you know, because when you change ski, as you know, there's a confidence level that needs to be built up on the ski, both in practice and in tournament.
Yep.
Like, okay, I'm going to bring this ski to this tournament and see how it goes, right?
No, I agree. And, you know, same goes for me. I hate changing skis, but, you know, it does happen. We do have to do it occasionally. And, you know, in practice, you're like, yeah, you're up and down. I think this is going to be okay. But until you go to that first tournament, which for me is typically Moomba,
right,
which is always tough to get ready for, you know, you never know if it's going to be the ski until you come out of a tournament. So, you know, she's got herself dialed in. She found a ski she's liked, and, you know, she just hasn't looked back. She's just moving forwards and getting it done. And I think that she's going to be tough to deal with for the rest of the year for those girls. I really do.
I would agree. Starting with next weekend in San Gervasio, where she'll be there, trying to rack up some points. Currently, the leaderboard for the women's slalom, we have Whitney leading with 200 points, and only 1 point behind after this weekend is Jamie Bull with 199. And then in third, Ali Nicholson with 157. Whereas in the men, we have Usher leading with 236, followed by Freddie Winter with 200, and then Will Asher with 153. Leaderboard of the slalom of the Water Ski Pro Tour presented by Klipsch Audio. And then this year, we also have the ski brand leaderboard supported by TWBC. Currently in the lead syndicate, D3 had been leading all the way until this weekend.
HO took quite the jump this weekend here in Greece.
So 504 for syndicate, followed by 436 with D3, and Raider in third with 279. Nate, thank you so much for joining me with this. I wish you the best for the rest of the Pro Tour season, and keep it up.
Yep, thanks, Matteo.
Awesome.
We'll see you.